Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here by phone. Dave Henrich is with us. He is the superintendent of the Griswold Schools here locally, and they've been working very diligently amongst board and staff to figure out exactly what the school year is going to look like here coming up very soon. Dave, thanks for the time this morning.
Absolutely.
And I mean that sincerely. A lot of work has been put into this, right?
It is, and a lot of thank yous and great jobs go out to a lot of people, my administrative partners, our lead team teachers, our custodial staff. There's a lot of people that have been involved in the decision-making process here, and although we've got a good plan together, we know that we got a long ways to go yet because this is a very fluid situation.
Yeah, it is. You make plans, and I guess when you make them, you understand that they may change just about at a moment's notice, and you get a lot of input from a lot of places.
Yeah, we sent out some communication to our parents. The last one was Friday, and we've been reluctant to send much out earlier just from the standpoint of we try to avoid sending information out one day and changing the next. Although, like I said, we sent out Friday. We know that's certainly a possibility that some rules may change that we don't have any control over that will cause us to change our plan. But as of now, the information that we have in parents' hand is what we're planning to do come August 24th.
Dave, have you been getting guidance from other places in this?
Oh, absolutely. We have several superintendent groups that share. My other school, Lenox, Pride of Iowa Conference. We have occasional Zoom meetings together. The Iowa Department of Education has weekly, if not multiple times per week, webinars. Of course, I talk to a lot of the other superintendents in the area, such as Atlantic, Stanton, Fremont Mills, Sydney, Red Oak. So we do a lot of sharing of information as well.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm hearing that kind of, too, when I hear a lot of these return-to-learn plans. It sounds like there are an awful lot of similarities between school districts.
There are, and part of that is, I believe, because of the rules or guidelines that were given. Like, for example, on July 17th, the governor came out with a proclamation that stated at least 50% of the instructional time must be done face-to-face. So if any schools originally had a plan that was virtual only, they're no longer allowed to follow that plan. So some of those decisions have kind of streamlined what a lot of districts are doing and made them very similar.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the details, as they stand now anyway. As far as the school, the time structure, the scheduling, how is that going to set up?
Yep. So basically, no changes there. We're planning on starting August 24th. Our school day, as far as on-site, will be exactly the same. We'll have our early outs as scheduled, so no changes to that. As far as students and their attendance, in the governor's proclamation, again, it stated 50% of the instructional time, at least 50% of the instructional time, must be on-site. But within that, it stated that if any student or resident of that child's residence or a caregiver has a health condition that increases the risk of COVID, then you are obligated to serve them virtually if they choose. So that's a have to. The other piece of it, districts can elect to serve any student who wishes to be taught virtually if that district wants to do that. And for Griswold, we did open that up to anybody, and currently we're around 60 students that will be educated virtually at least to start the school year. And that's where some of the difficulty begins for our teaching staff, because most of our teachers are going to have to teach their kids in the classroom every day, as well as serve those students virtually. So for us to do that, we have an instructional coach at each building, one elementary, one at high school. They're going to serve as a huge assistant to those teachers in the classroom to help meet those virtual learners' needs.
Oh, no doubt. You know, every staff member, no matter what their duties are going to be affected by how this plays out, even to, literally everyone, the janitorial staff. I mean, that's all going to change in how they approach their jobs.
Absolutely, and we'll talk about that here a little bit as far as some of the precautions that we're taking, or I'll use the word not taking as well. So we've elected not to take temperatures when students or staff come in every day. As always, we're asking parents if your student's running a fever, not feeling well, please stay home. So we're not going to take temperatures. We are also not going to require masks. At the same time, we're going to do the best job that we can to social distance, but it's certainly going to vary from classroom to classroom, to bus, based upon, the number of students and what rooms are available. So we're certainly asking people or recommending to people if they have worries or if they're in an area that we're not able to social distance to wear those face masks. Then as far as in the classrooms, we are going to sanitize the surface of the desk at the end of every period for middle school, high school students, because typically a new student will sit in that desk the next period. We're at the elementary, we're probably going to do it mainly one time per day at the end of the day because it's the same student sitting in the same spot. And the way we're going to do that is we have some disinfectant or cleaning spray that the teacher will spray on each desk, and then each student will be given a hand towel, paper towel to wipe off their desk. Then at the end of the day, the janitorial staff will come in with fogging machines and, again, hit all surfaces, all door handles, all those types of things. So we're going to try to hit everything at least twice a day. Other measures for our water fountains, we do have several bottle filling stations, which we feel pretty good about those because if they're used properly, the top of the bottle where students drink out of should never be in contact with anything. On the other hand, the old drinking fountains with the spigots on them, those are going to be kind of a hazard because it's pretty hard not to get a drink without droplets going back onto that spigot. So we've actually purchased some locks that will go on top of those to prevent people from using those. Lunchroom, we're devising a partition that will run down the middle of the tables, and there'll be a cellophane wrap that goes along that to protect kids face-to-face. That'll be sanitized at the end of each lunch period and actually thrown away at the end of the day. And then we're hoping to rearrange some of our lunch schedules a little bit to prevent kids sitting next to each other as much as possible. Sure. So those are some of the real quick things that we're trying to do to make sure it's a safe environment for all.
You bet. Dave, will there be any changes in busing?
We actually discussed that. Right now, we are set up for 6 bus routes. We are currently short a route driver. We had a resignation, I'm going to say, back in March or April, and we were unable to fill that. So right now, we're actually going to consolidate down to 5. We did have a discussion at the board meeting about maybe not serving in-town kids. By law, if a student lives less than a mile away, a district does not have to pick them up. But, of course, one of the reasons we do is for safety reasons. And so when we discussed that at the July 20th board meeting, a comment was made, as a district, we're not making promises about social distancing. We're just going to do the best that we can, and that's going to vary from situation to situation. So why would the bus be any different? So yeah. With that is, we'll have bus drivers instruct kids as they enter the bus to spread out. Like, for example, first set of kids go to the back, next group to the front, and then as our route becomes towards the end when it's the most full, that'll be the least amount of time that kids are riding right next to each other. And again, that would be a very appropriate time for people to wear face masks.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And everything we talk about here, and this is just scratching the surface, everything we talk about here is fluid. It could all change tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. Back in March, the day before the governor said close schools down, we literally spent the whole afternoon. I was on the phone with Steve Barber from Atlantic. And of course, I serve 2 districts, so on the phone with both my boards, my 4 administrators. And we spent all afternoon putting a plan together to restrict access to the building as far as visitors and parents. we felt pretty good about our plan at 7 o'clock that night, and then roughly at 7:30, the governor said schools are closed. So all that work we did all afternoon, threw it away, started over. And we know it's very likely something like that will happen again, but we still got a plan for the future today.
You bet. Well, if folks who are concerned, parents perhaps, want to know more about what's going to happen, you're continuing to keep in touch. There are ways they can find that information?
Absolutely. The best thing really is refer to the letter. We sent that letter out July 24th. As new things change, we'll communicate that way. But as always, if people have questions, we certainly encourage them either call myself or Mr. Horton, elementary principal, or Mr. Hyatt, middle school, high school principal, and we'll do the best job that we can to answer those questions.
All right. Well, we're having a lot of discussions. We never really thought we'd have so much in education, but they are important, and they are very timely. We need to make sure we're on top of that and stay on top, and we appreciate your time here this morning, Dave, so much. Thank you so much for all the work you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.